Good morning. We're going to talk today about how every morning is a new day. Some days we have so much fun we wish they'd never quit. Other days we can't wait for them to be over. Other days we wake up. Mom, you can't be talking, Mom. It's we're teaching now, okay? So every day is a new day. And the focus we're going to have today is that you get a fresh start every day. You can wake up in the morning and be worried about what happened yesterday or be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. But what we ought to do is realize every day is a new day. Every day is a new opportunity. I remember this with babies. They may scream and yell at night, but boy, they wake up in the morning and it's a new day and they're happy and excited about what's going to happen. Well, it's that kind of childlike believing that God wants us to have too. Every day is a new day. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday, we put the past behind and move ahead. Let's go to a very, very familiar section about this in Leviticus 3. And we'll read a bunch of verses about this, but we'll start in Leviticus 3. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Here we go, Leviticus. There's something wrong here. There is no verse 21 in Leviticus 3. Well, it's that. Oh. It's in Jeremiah 3. Ha! God's compassions are new every morning. How in the world did I get Leviticus in there? Nope, it's not there either. Well, we know that verse about how God's compassions are new every morning. But now I'm curious to see what it is. Hold on a minute, I'll find it. We're not in a big hurry. I don't usually get the totally wrong thing in there. Lamentations 3:21, that's it. Not Leviticus. Okay, I gotta fix this. Okay. Lamentations, Leviticus, they both start with L. Okay. Let's try this again. Let me fix it in the notes. Okay, I actually have it later in the dang notes. But since we're here, we'll read it. Okay, Lamentations 3. No, as a matter of fact, we'll save that for later. Let's go to Psalm 59. We'll get there. Bit of a surprise here today. Psalm 59 and verse 16. Psalm 59 and verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. See, God was his defense and refuge. And that's why in the morning he could sing aloud of God's mercy, God's loving kindness in the morning. And that's what we have to do. We often sing aloud in the morning about how we don't want to get out of bed, or we forgot to make the coffee, or there's going to be traffic out there, or it's raining. Sometimes we do that, but what we ought to be doing is singing aloud of God's loving kindness. Just start out the day, God loves me, God's going to get me through this day, it's going to be a marvelous day. That's the way to start the day. Now let's try Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Consider what I'm thinking about. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will what? Look up. We tend to look down at the things on the earth and be all worried about them. And we have to deal with stuff on this earth. So there's nothing wrong with that. But our focus should be on looking up to God and looking to his goodness and his kindness. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee. So if you're waking up on a Monday morning, like we'll all do tomorrow morning, and trying to figure out what to focus on, trying to figure out whether you should look forward to the day or be worried about it, well, just direct your prayer to God. Just go to Him with all of your concerns and have that be the focus of your morning, and you'll have a great day no matter what you're doing. Let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And here we go. Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. That's a great thing. And you see, sometimes we get a little discouraged or a little worried because we don't have control over everything in our lives. We don't. You can control a lot of things about your life, but a lot of things depend on other people. So you can get all worried about the things you don't control, or you can simply do what it says here in Psalm 55 and verse 17, 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. So you're sitting around with your friends, and some people are complaining about this because they're mad about something they heard on the news or something somebody said, or their team lost a game, or somebody wasn't nice to them, or they had a business deal go bad, and they're all upset about this and that. But he says, as for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. See, that's the part we can control. You know, you cannot control every person around you. You cannot control the weather unless God gives you revelation to do it. If you're working on something, on a business deal or your job, you can control parts of it. But there's a lot of other people and a lot of other circumstances that are, frankly, beyond your control. And you don't have control over. But what you can do is call upon God. As for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let's see the next one. Let's go to Psalm 59 and verse 16 and 17. Oh, we already read that one. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, your loving kindness. Let's go to Psalm 92. Here we go, Psalm 92 and verse 1. Psalm 92 and verse 1. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth or declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. This is a verse we like to read. Every morning talk about God's loving kindness, and every night talk about his faithfulness. Start out your day talking about how God loves you, so he's going to help you. And at the end of the day, look back at all the great things God was faithful to do for you. It's a great thing to focus on, much better than getting all wrapped up in things in this world that are just going to bother us. Verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. That is just tremendous to see how great God is there. Now let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 145. Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented or preceded the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. So even before the sun came up, he was putting his hope, his positive expectations in God's word. Mine eyes prevent or precede or are awake through the night watches, that I might meditate on thy word. Hear a voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me, make me alive according to thy judgments. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They're far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. So when it says I prevented the dawning of the morning, means I rose before, I got out, I got up before dawn and cried that I hoped in thy word. So early in the morning he was crying unto the Lord for help, and the Lord was helping him. Psalm 143, verse 7. Psalm 143 and verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. He just said, Lord, help me, you know, remember and hear and think about your loving kindness in the morning. That's what I want to do. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me. Make me alive, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. But look at verse 8. Cause me to know thy loving kindness in the morning. What a great prayer. He said, Lord, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I just want to think about your loving kindness. And that's a great way to start the day. And here's where we we're trying to go when I said Leviticus 3:21. We'll go to Lamentations 3:21. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. A very familiar verse. Lamentations 3:21. Here we go. Lamentations 3 and verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. In verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him with expectation, the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. So God's compassions are new every morning, every single morning. So as we've said many times, if you think you've worn God's patience down too much and he's giving up on you, don't worry about it. He'll still be there when you need him. He's going to have new compassions for you every morning. What a great, wonderful thing. The Lord's compassions are new every morning. Now, talking about his compassions being new every morning, let's go look at Jeremiah 42. This is a record we read from time to time where God's people were in a real mess. As you may recall, if you go back about 150 years before this, those in the northern kingdom of Israel had so walked away from God that the Assyrians came in and totally destroyed the city of Samaria and took everybody away captive. And that's why they're often referred to as the Lost Ten Tribes. They just sort of disappeared into what is now northern Iran and disappeared. They were intermingled with the other people and really never heard of since. But down in Judah, where Isaiah the prophet was and where Hezekiah was the king, they did sufficiently walk with God that God protected them from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and they were fine. But then about 150 years later, the Judeans also down in Jerusalem had so walked away from God that God could no longer protect them. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came in and his army destroyed the city and took most of the people as captives to Babylon, but they didn't intersperse with the other peoples. They pretty much stayed as a unit of Judeans, and then obviously 70 years later returned. But in the meantime, those few people that were left in Jerusalem were very nervous because some of the Judeans that were hiding out across the border, I think in Moab, came across the border and killed Gedaliah, who was the governor the king of Babylon had set up. And they were very nervous that when the king of Babylon found out what had happened, he would come in and destroy the few of them that were left. So they were so worried about it, they went to Jeremiah the prophet. And the reason I think it's so timely to read this is, talk about being in a tough situation. We all have challenges. Sometimes they're medical. Sometimes they're physical. Sometimes they're financial. Sometimes they're emotional. Sometimes they deal with people. Sometimes they deal with circumstances. Sometimes they deal with resources we have or we don't have, so we're having a tough time. But these guys were in a situation where their city had been destroyed. Some in their midst had done something terrible to kill the governor that had been set up, and they were worried about the Babylonian army coming in and killing them all. You got to admit, that's a little tougher situation than you and I have. We do have challenges, and they are real, and we do need God's help. But I want you to see how God provided a solution for them. Now, unfortunately, these people were not smart enough to take the solution, but God was faithful enough to give them a solution. So we can learn two things from this record. One is that no matter how bad things are, God can come through in a mighty way, number one. And number two, we have to take the solution. And if we don't take the solution, we don't get the benefit. Think of it, if you had an illness and the doctor prescribed something that would help, you'd sort of have to take the medication if you want to get the benefit of it. Otherwise, just sitting there in your medicine cabinet or on the counter, it doesn't really do you any good. In the same way, if God tells us what to do and gives us a solution, we have to walk in it. There's an old saying that God can make a way when there is no way, but we have to walk in the way he's given us. So here in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 1, then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least, even unto the greatest, came near. And they said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication, our request, be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. And it's true, most of the people had been taken captive to Babylon or escaped across the border, but there was a small group of Judeans in the burnt-out city of Jerusalem. So pray, please, for us, verse 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God, according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they sounded very sincere. They said, ask the Lord what to do, and we'll do exactly what he says. Now, as you'll see later in the chapter, they don't follow through on that, but that's what they are saying. And it came to pass, verse 7, after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Why did God wait 10 days? I don't know, but that was his choice. And it's the same thing in our lives. We can ask, and sometimes God will tell us immediately. Sometimes he'll wait 10 days. Sometimes he'll wait longer. Sometimes he won't tell us at all. We just get to look at the obvious doors God's opened and the obvious things that are available and enjoy them. And that's a great thing. If God supplies that obvious thing, you should go with it. And we've all heard that story about the guy who was stuck out on a floodplain and heard the river was rising and his whole area around his house was going to flood. So he's sitting there in his house, and guy comes up in a truck and says, "Hey, we're evacuating. Come on, hop in the car." And he says, "Nope, I'm not going to go with you. I prayed for God to get me out of here, so I'm going to stay and wait." The guy says, "Okay," and drives off in the truck. Then the water starts to go, get higher, and his first floor is flooded, so he goes up to the second floor. Guy comes by in a little rowboat with a little outboard motor on it and puts right up to the window and says, "Hey, hop in the boat. I've come to get you out of here because of the flood." And the guy says, "Nope, I prayed for God to get me out of here. I'm not getting in your boat." Finally, the water gets so high, he can't even be on the second floor. He has to climb onto his roof. And at that point, a helicopter comes by and lowers a ladder. And the guy says, "Climb on up." He says, "I'm not getting on your helicopter. I prayed for God to get me out of here." And about that time, there's this voice booms from heaven saying, "Look, I sent a truck and a boat and a helicopter for you. What else do you want?" Because he was so stubborn, he thought God was going to, I don't know, teleport him or something. But God sent three ways to take care of him. And that's often the case in our lives, where God has provided exactly what we need, and it's right there in front of us, and we're just too thick in the head to see it. And that's what we're going to see with these guys. God is going to provide exactly what they need to get out of there, and they're just going to ignore it. But sometimes the point is we don't need revelation. It's just obvious. You pray for something, and it is right in front of you. Don't get stubborn. Accept what is right in front of you, unless God tells you not to do it. But when God provides it for you and it's right there, use it. Enjoy it. So, they claim they're going to do what God says. And after 10 days, verse 7, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Verse 8, "Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest." And this is what Jeremiah said, verse 9. He said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him." Verse 10, "If you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I've done unto you. I'm sorry this happened, and you do what I said, and you'll be fine." Now look what he says, verse 11, "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, 'We will not dwell in this land,' neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, 'No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell.'" Verse 15, "And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly, entirely set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine wherever you were afraid shall follow close after you in Egypt, and there ye shall die." So, the word of the Lord is very simple. Stay in Jerusalem, and don't be scared of the king of Babylon. But this group was scared of the king of Babylon, and they really wanted to go to Egypt, and they wanted Jeremiah to say that, but he didn't. Ha! So, verse 17, "So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord God of," verse 18, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt. And you shall be an execration, an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place," what? "No more. You shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O you remnant of Judah, go you not into Egypt, know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you dissembled in your hearts, you lied, when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it.' And now I have this day declared it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither you desire to go, and to sojourn. So the word of the Lord was very simple. Stay put, and I'll take care of you. But they didn't want to. So they did end up going to Egypt. They even took Jeremiah with them. And there they died. And when they got there, they talked about how they really didn't like to listen to the God of Israel. They liked to worship the Queen of Heaven and all kinds of, you know, false gods. And that's what they kept doing. So God did provide a new way to live, but they rejected it. So I'm not encouraging you to do that, but the point is God will always make a way for us, which is why every morning we should start out, today is a new day. If yesterday was good, let's pray for today to be marvelous as well. If yesterday was not good and you didn't enjoy it, well, let's just pray that today's better. But either way, let's start the day out that it's a new day, and think of great little sayings like the future is as bright as the promises of God, which it surely is. Now look at Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 1. Even Jesus Christ, as wonderfully as he walked with God, look what he did. Mark 1 verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, early in the morning, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So the best way to start the day is talk about God's loving kindness, remind yourself how he loves you and will bring you deliverance, and pray. That's the thing to focus on. See, that's what you can control. Can you control everything in your workplace? No. Can you control all of your supervisors? No. Can you control all your coworkers? No. Can you control all of your customers? No. Can you control the weather? No. Can you control the economy? No. Can you control so many things in the world? No. But you can control what you do in the morning. And every morning we can get up and talk about God's loving kindness, his goodness, his deliverance, and just simply expecting him to bless us. And as we pray every morning, focusing on God's goodness, we are taking control of our lives. And then the exact circumstances will work out. God will take care of them. We don't know. Like when you pray to God, should I stay here in Jerusalem or go to Egypt? You don't know what God's going to say. You don't have control over that. But you have control over you praying and asking God, and then you have control over whether you do what he says. Or if he doesn't say anything, but he provides what you need, you have control over whether you go use and take advantage and make use of what he has given you. That you control. So let's work on the things we can control instead of be worrying about the things we can't. And starting every morning, praising God, loving God, praying to God, accepting his loving kindness. Let's do that every morning. And if you do that, the rest of your day will go smoothly. And Philippians 3, very favorite section here. Philippians 3. I might read Philippians 4 too, but we'll start with Philippians 3. Philippians 3, a good one to wrap up with here. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not pretending I got everything figured out. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's a big challenge in life. Forget about the past and reach forth unto those things which are before. Somebody once translated this, forgetting, declaring null and void, those things which are behind. They just don't matter. They're null and void. They don't matter. They're irrelevant. And maybe that's a good word for you. They're irrelevant. They happened. And maybe some of them were good, maybe some of them were bad, maybe some of them were neutral, but they don't matter anymore. Because what matters is reaching forth unto those things which are before, looking forward to what God has for us. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and the perfection is in our new birth, obviously in our minds and in our walks, we're not perfect, but as many of us as be perfect spiritually, let us be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So have it in your mind that you're going to press forward with the things of God. And if your thinking gets off out of whack, not on the ball, well, God can reveal that to you. God can let you know, and he will. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereto we've already attained, let's walk by the same rule. Let's mind the same thing. See, I love this, because obviously none of us have learned or grown to the place that we walk like Jesus Christ. We haven't done that. We probably will never walk like Jesus Christ. We might get to where we walk like the Apostle Paul. That's possible. And if we did, that would be marvelous. But whatever level of walk with God we've attained, let's just stay with it. Stick with it. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let's walk by the same rule, let's mind the same thing. And then in verse 15, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's very, very easy to get all down on yourself about what you don't do for God and things you don't accomplish. Gee whiz, but we've accomplished some things. We're here. We're reading God's word together. We're speaking in tongues. We're operating the worship manifestations. We're walking in love towards God's people. We've got a lot going for us. And you could list a dozen other things that are going right in your life. Well, stay with those. Stick with the stuff you figured out from God's word. Stick with the ability you have to walk with God the way you have it. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. But don't sit around and get worried. But sometimes you run into people, usually from a different Christian group, who are all hot and bothered and worried about doing a certain thing. You know, some people are into a political movement. Some people are into a natural food movement. You know, some people think the only thing to do in the world is a healing ministry. So, you know, everybody has something. Some people just want to feed the poor. And there's value in all those things. And as God leads you and shows you what to do, any of those are valid ways to serve God. But we each have a different part to play in the body of Christ. And there are certain things you have gotten very good at in your walk. So stay with them. Don't worry about them. If you want to grow your way of serving God, pray that, you know, God will help you figure it out and learn. But don't give up what you got. What you got is good. Keep it. Continue to walk that way, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. And just remember, every day is a new day. Tomorrow you get a fresh chance. If today you goof everything up and go to bed thinking what a stinker you are, so what? Thank God for his forgiveness, and tomorrow morning wake up and have a brand new day with the tomorrow being as bright as the promises of God. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints, for their great and wonderful love for you, for all you provided for each and every one of us. I thank you that tomorrow will be a new day, that we can look forward to with great excitement and anticipation to the things you'll do for us. We thank you for this, for your wonderful love, and the joy of believing you, walking with you, and being your kids. May we continue to pray for one another, love one another, and enjoy living your word every single day. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, God bless you, wonderful saints. I love you, and if the Lord tarries, we'll talk again in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.